Our reading, as Eleanor said earlier, comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, the first 14 verses. A letter to the exiles. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jehoiakim and the Queen Mother, the court officials and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the skilled workers and the artisans, had gone into exile from Jerusalem. He entrusted the letter to Elasa, son of Shaphan, and to Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. It said, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in numbers, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Nick. I found, looking back at this passage, that it's a really interesting passage, because I keep hearing things quoted from it, like verse 11, "I know the plans I have for you to prosper and not to harm," and also another verse from here, which I'll mention in a moment. I hear them quoted out of context all the time. And I wonder, in a passage that clearly says, don't listen to the people that are prophesying not in my name, how we can sit here and sometimes get it so wrong. So let me tell you what I've heard said before. So verse 6 of this says, "Marry and have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in numbers there and do not decrease." And I have had it told to me by people in church that that means I should be married with children and that I'm not fulfilling my purpose if I don't have a family. And I don't know about you, some of you have got families and some of you don't, but that hurts. And also this verse that we will that the Lord has plans to prosper us. Time after time I hear that that means if you are a good Christian and you don't do things wrong, then you will be blessed. And I don't know about you, but how many people here, since they converted to be a Christian, has had no problems in their lives? It's just not true, is it? So in amongst this passage, we've got some things that we need to juggle with. So firstly, just talking about families for a second, I want to talk about Paul. Now, Paul is an amazing character. You'll find him in the letters in the New Testament, and he carried the gospel to so much of this world. And in 1 Corinthians 7, he says, "Now to the unmarried and the widows, I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried as I do." I don't think we can be much clearer than that. It is fine to be married. It is fine to not be married. It is great to have a family. It is also fine not to have a family. And also, if we're talking about good Christians, Paul is a good Christian. So did he prosper? Was everything okay for him? If we go to 2 Corinthians 11, you get this wonderful paragraph from Paul. "I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death once and again, 5 times received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one, 3 times beaten with rods, once pelted with stones, 3 times shipwrecked, a day and a night in the open sea, constantly on the move, danger from the rivers, danger from bandits, dangers from Jews." It goes on. We are not promised an easy life. So, what is true in this passage? If you have a look at the book of Jeremiah, you'll find that God disrupts his people's plans and upends their dreams. And it's a shocking message that the prophet reveals to people. People that are safe in Jerusalem assume that the fortune that they have is a sign that God is for them. And those that have been exiled think that God is against them. But Jeremiah says something very different. He says that the judgment will fall on Jerusalem and that God's purposes will spring to life through the exiles, the ones that have been banished. But the thing is that nobody wants to hear this message. It's not good news for either group, because the Jerusalem guys have this foretelling of danger. And as we heard in the passage, the Babylonians have found out that they won't be going home in their generation. So no one's really that happy at Jeremiah very often at all. But what I said at the beginning of that is that God is disrupting people's plans. And we wonder why our plans are disrupted so often. So I would like to introduce you to a childhood friend of mine. His name is Coyote, and he spends a lot of time with a guy called Roadrunner. Anybody know the Coyote and Roadrunner cartoons? So Coyote spends a lot of time chasing after Roadrunner. And then there was this episode, which I'd like to show you a little bit of. I will say it's not the best quality because it was never designed for this day and age and for big screens. But take a look at this. Thank you, Ian. Meep, meep. last signs at the end said, "Okay, wise guys, you always wanted me to catch him. Now what do I do?" Exactly. We don't know. This is Coyote's one purpose in life. All he's ever dreamed of is catching Roadrunner. And then he does. And now what? And in that moment, he finds that the man-made plans, or coyote-made plans, that he's had all his life are completely and utterly empty. And that, for me, is part of this conversation with Jeremiah. The other part of it is people telling falsehoods into people's lives. So the plans that God is disrupting are the people that are lying and those empty purposes that we never get a reward from. I wonder, how many of the things that you always wanted to do or that you are striving for at the moment, what happens if you actually get them? Is it going to be a, I am completely fulfilled, this is everything I've ever dreamed of moment? Or is there a little bit of a, oh, now what do I do? Hi, wise guys, what do I do now? You always wanted this, but where is the purpose in it? Are you left empty if you achieve your plans? Or are you left full? So, shall we go back to the passage and have a look at what it actually says? Having looked at what it doesn't say. So Jerome, who is an early church father and a wiser man than me, starts by telling about this line, which is, seek the peace of the city or the land. For in its peace will be your peace. I urge, first of all, that intercessions, prayers, requests, and thanksgivings be made for all persons, for kings and all who are in high office, that we may live a quiet and tranquil life. So the first thing that this passage tells us is we need to pray for our land. We need to pray for the rulers. We need to see that time when God's kingdom comes. But in the meantime, we want peace in this world. We want peace in this land. We want peace in our communities. And therefore, we need to pray for it. Then it says we need to build homes. Now, I don't know about you. I'm sure there are some people here who know how to build a house. I am not one of them. I am not practical in any way, shape, or form. So what does building homes mean to us? I think Jesus had a line on this, and it was about building homes on the rock, not on the sand. So what Jesus said to us was, everyone, therefore, who hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on a rock. So this passage in Jeremiah is telling us to build our houses, and Jesus' explanation of building houses is to listen to the words that he gives us and then to do them. Marry and have sons and daughters. Increase in numbers, this passage tells us. And this is about expanding the tribes of Israel when Judaism was coming down from father to their children. And the way that Israel expanded was through children. But again, we live in different times. One where Jesus teaches us to make disciples. So this could be raising sons and daughters, but it also could be sharing our faith, sowing those seeds, planting seeds that will grow in one another. And then this verse, the plans I have for you. Just listen to these verses for a moment and think to yourself, what are actually the promises that God makes here? When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, and I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. So what are the promises here? A return to Jerusalem, a hope and a future, and finding God. This passage for me resonated because I see these promises somewhere else. I see them in Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now amongst the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And there we have the plans that God has for us. A plan for hope, for the future, to prosper us. Doesn't it fill you with hope that one day there will be no more pain, there will be no more suffering, there will be no more fighting? God's world will reign. God's will reign. And that we will be there, and we will see God in that. And everything that has passed away will have gone. And we will remember the hope and the future and just be with God. And isn't that an amazing thing? And don't you long to see that reality? And that's why, initially, when we were looking at how we felt about this verse, some of you will have felt that this verse is so difficult and so painful, and yet that hope goes on. God's plans are forever. They are not just for now, and that's what we hold on to. But where does that leave our hopes, our plans, our questions, and our futures? Right where they are, nailed to the cross. We have a God that chose to come to us, to this earth, and came to show us the way. A God that demonstrated with everybody that he met that he loves us just the way we are, no matter what has gone before, good or bad, what we've done, but he will always love us. And because he loves us, he also shows us a better way into the future. He came to earth, he saw suffering and pain, but he also lived life. And we have a Bible full of lives like Paul's that were lived to the full, but weren't easy. They're a roadmap for us, showing us that sometimes our man-made dreams aren't right and we need to put them aside, but God's plans and God's purposes will always prevail. We have an empty cross because Jesus rose again and we still have access to him. We are never, ever alone, and we can ask him what to do. And still, if we're stuck understanding what to do next, which is very much resonating for me right now, we can build our houses on the rock. We can live out the life that Jesus showed us. We can grow our family by helping others on the path. We can put our faith and trust in Jesus. And if we are still stuck, we can go back and ask Jesus, what should I do when I don't know what to do? What is the one plan, one rule, one command I should follow? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and your mind. This is the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love the neighbor as yourself. And in this, we hear something new. We hear that there is a plan that God has got, and it will be fulfilled. We know that if we speak to him and listen to him, both his words to us in prayer and through the Bible and through one another, we will find the path that we should be walking on. But above all, we know that day by day, we are asked to love one another. And day by day, we are loved. And even when it feels like we're adrift and we don't know where to put the next footstep, we know that Jesus is with us. He takes our plans, our futures, our pains, and our joys, and he makes them his very own. Amen.